Episode 1104, My Strength is My Story with Colleen Kelly Alexander. Gratitude in Motion.
Moms, needing a little inspiration and a ray of hope? You've come to the right place. This is the show that you can turn to for just the pick-me-up you need. This is Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. Here's your host, certified life coach, personal trainer, and nutritionist, Christiane Wargo.
Happy, happy day. Today is my favorite day of the week. It is my Strength is My Story series, and we have with us an incredible, indelible, indescribable woman with us. Her name is Colleen Kelly Alexander, and I promise you today, you need to tune in because your life will be forever changed. For those of you who are brand new to Create Your Now, friends and family of Colleen's, welcome to our family. I'm so delighted of your presence. If you already haven't had the opportunity, you'll want to head on over to createyournow.com where you can learn more and to sign up for the Kisses newsletter, the Keep It Simple strategy, everyday solutions to live, love, and impact. Well, Colleen has definitely impacted me. Her story is riveting. It's going to grab you. It's going to hold on to you tight. And it probably will rip you to the core. Her new book is Gratitude in Motion. And this woman has lived a beyond extraordinary, miraculous life. You have to listen to the love story, the ups and downs, how she finally found her high school sweetheart, the gratitude that she has where love is always louder. I promise you, if you take a moment to see things through a different perspective, your life will be forever changed. She has changed my life, and I'm so glad to call her my friend and sister in Christ. Let's welcome on in Colleen Kelly Alexander, Gratitude in Motion. Hello and welcome to Create Your Now. I am so excited. We have a very extraordinary, miraculous guest with us. Oh yes, her life is truly a miracle. Her name is Colleen Kelly Alexander. She is a wife of 8 years to her incredible husband, Sean. Oh, you're going to hear their love story. You will. And you are going to fall in love with it over and over again. They have 3 dogs and 1 cat, Luna. Colleen is a lifelong athlete and a motivational speaker. She teaches others how to aim higher, be stronger, and use adversity as a catalyst to make themselves and the world better. Colleen was the executive director of the Common Ground Youth Center in Vermont for 8 years and a regional program manager for Peace Jam. Colleen is now also an author, and where she shares her amazing story, a true story of hope, determination, and the everyday heroes around us. Her book is called Gratitude in Motion. When you hear her story, your heart is going to be pounding with joy, with gratitude, and with much love. You know what, Colleen? We all bleed red. Welcome, my friend and sister in Christ. I'm so delighted to have you here.
Thank you. It's really an honor to be here.
Well, I am, I just got to say, first off, how many times did you die and come back to life?
So I was resuscitated twice in the trauma bay, and then I had multiple resuscitations throughout the next several days. So essentially my femoral artery was ripped, and I was just ripped apart. So as quickly as they could get blood products into my system, I was just bleeding out again. So it was a lot of hands-on compression and a lot of blood products, and my family had no idea at the time.
Well, you all are going to hear a little bit of her story, but I wanted to start with that because one of the chapters you call is We All Bleed Red. And I think it's important to point out that we all have a lot of things in common. God created us in his image. And your story is just gripping to every single core. When they read your book, oh my goodness, their life will be not only inspired but changed. How many races have you completed so far to date?
An estimate of probably 200. So at minimum, yeah.
And counting, right?
Yeah, and counting.
Wow, that's incredible. Well, before we jump into your story and your book, because it is so dramatic. I mean, we don't even need a horror story. We don't need a movie theater because you're going to bring it all to life for us today. What keeps you intentionally moving right now?
The very breath that I have, the very fact that it's not about me. I am a product of the human family, of God's love and grace. And my heart is beating because of the fact that it was brought back from the human family. It was brought back because God had a vision for it. And it's not just about me anymore. It's about being part of this huge, beautiful network of family and all around the world, all around the globe. And there's no chronic pain or panic or anxiety that can keep me down anymore because I literally am breathing and beating because of this huge family, this huge network. So it's awesome. It's powerful.
Oh, I know the listeners and the viewers are on edge right now going, what in the heck are they talking about? So we have to kind of begin to paint the picture. So let's go back in time and let's start with a love story that started back in high school.
Yeah. So my husband, who's actually outside shoveling now. So when he comes back in, maybe he can peek his head in and say hello to everyone.
That would be awesome.
I was 15 years old and he was 17 and we went to high school together. He was this big, handsome surfer boy. He was very, very shy. And I was, they called me Colleen Bopper because I was full of energy and bounced around the halls and whatnot. And we had friends in common who said, you two really have to meet because even though he's a senior and you're a sophomore, you're so similar and you would really have fun together. So it turned out I had known his sister and I were friends all through junior high school. And I'd seen him, but I never really had a conversation with him. He was always the older, hot brother. You know, we just never really talked. And so I finally got the courage to introduce myself to him one day. And we went out on a date and it was just as sweet as it was very sweet. Like it was a very lovely date. And I talk a lot about that in my book. And we very quickly became friends. And even though he was a senior and I was a sophomore, he kind of broke the mold, I feel like, from all the boyfriends I had, which I had a lot of boyfriends, in the fact that his goal as a teenage boy wasn't to see what base he could get at so much. He was just completely fun. I mean, we had this genuine fun friendship and respect, and we really enjoyed each other. So he took me to prom, or I went to his prom, which was really exciting.
Yes, as a sophomore, that is very exciting.
Yeah, yeah. It was a very big deal. So we put the prom picture in the book.
It is so cute. I love the hair.
Yeah.
The hair, awesome. Well, of course, now, it was a picture perfect, right? Because you're married to him now. And so you were high school sweethearts. Everything between now or then and now, it was just, there were no other men that came into the picture, right?
No, there were definitely other men that came into the picture. So I was married two other times before. So, and it is, makes me sad to this day that they did not work out. But I was married at 19 years old because the way that I was raised and the way that my faith has brought me to believe is that you don't have sex until your wedding night. And so I didn't. And it unfortunately was not a good marriage at all. I think just because someone says that they're of God doesn't mean that they believe and walk necessarily of God. We can all say it, but it's whether or not we do it and we live it. And so my first marriage at 19 was just not really the loving marriage that it should have been. And it wasn't the healthy marriage that it should have been. And so it ended very quickly by the time I was around 20. And then I married a guy who was completely the polar opposite of anything I had ever been taught as I was raised, because I went through a period of really rebelling from my roots, from my Christian roots, if you will. I was raised Southern Baptist and for those of you who maybe have been raised Southern Baptist or are Southern Baptist, there's a lot of intensive energy. And there's, as a kid, my view of religion was less because I truly felt it and more because I knew I was supposed to feel it, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. And I had such a fear of mortality that my love of God was more based out of fear than it was based out of a genuine reverence and admiration for God, and for Christ. And so a lot of what I did was because I knew I was supposed to as a young Christian girl. Not so much that I understood it. And so when I found myself following the ways of Christ and what I was supposed to do, and it ended so incredibly horrifically, I decided I was going to take it into my own hands. And that doesn't always work. But of course, as a strong woman, we're also trying to grow. So I married a guy who was Jewish and didn't believe in God and was cute as a button and a really nice guy, a wonderful human being. But we never had that connection. We never had that, we can never really get each other on so many levels, especially spiritually, which was really tough. And then it came to a point that I really wanted to have children and he absolutely did not. And I became sick. I had lupus, I had brain surgery. I had a lot of health ailments and he had a tough time with that and eventually wound up falling out of love with me, which was incredibly devastating. And, our marriage ended. And so I had let myself know I would never, ever, ever be married again. I kind of felt like I was cursed for a while. Somehow God was just punishing me and, really feeling devastated. And then here comes Sean back into my life as this grown up, this beautiful, smiling grown up. And
he was your first Facebook request.
My very first Facebook request, my first like long term relationship, which in high school was about 7 months, which was a long time. Well, actually, probably closer to 8 months.
That's an eternity in high school.
It is. Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing. And so I was very, very reluctant to engage in anything with him. And one of the first things I felt I needed to do was apologize to him because I broke up with him in high school because he wasn't saved. And my youth pastor and his wife, who were incredible in molding and shaping me as a teenager, also shared that if he's not saved, you're unequally yoked. And I had a really hard time with that, mostly because I didn't fully understand it. I was a teenager and I didn't get it, but I knew that if he's believing a little differently than me, then I must be wrong. And so, again, a lot of this is how I was conveying it as a teenage girl and not fully understanding and not fully realizing what a relationship with God can be like. A lot of it was because of how I was told. So we broke up and it was devastating, more so I think for me than him. And I remember sobbing and sobbing and sobbing because I didn't understand, you know, like, why am I doing this? I want to be right with God, but it hurts. And leaving him with a lot of questions like, well, you know, I certainly never tried second or third base with her and I was always a nice guy and we always had fun together. So I don't get it. So I wrote him a letter as a grown woman. It was one of the first things we said to each other via a Facebook message was, thank you so much for your friend request. And I've been hoping that at some point I could explain to you, and especially now as an adult, why that relationship ended, and hope that you'll forgive me. And even if you don't understand, that we can, you know, be friends, because it had weighed on me so heavily since that time. So,
and how did that turn out?
It turned out very beautifully. He said that he knew the kind of church girl that I was, and it made him sad because he felt that he was a Christian, but he also understood that I was a very radical conservative Christian, and so he knew that I just wasn't I wasn't where I needed to be, and he respected that, and he was sad about it, but he had always hoped that we'd come back together. And he said that I knew that we would connect again sometime. Like, he just knew that we would, at some point, our lives would reconvene. I don't think I ever thought that. I sort of had given up hope about it, but he really believed and held on to that. And he had never married and never had children and remained single for all those years. So,
and still a surfer boy?
He is a surfer boy. He is, of course, we're in Connecticut now, but whenever we get down by the ocean, he loves to surf. It's part of his natural, he's a natural in the water, to say the least. So,
well, yeah. So after you guys reconnected, obviously, you said I do, because you are now married and have been for 8 years.
Yeah, he proposed after we'd been together for about 2 years, reconnected. We had a long-term relationship, or a long-distance relationship, where he was in Colorado, I was in Vermont. And back and forth, we'd see each other. And at first, I thought, this is never going to work. And also guarding myself that I would not let myself get into another intense relationship. And one day he said, I don't want to be away from you anymore. I'm moving to Connecticut. And he left the beautiful state of Colorado with all the gorgeous sunshine and the mountains. And I was so nervous for him, because Vermont is beautiful, but it rains all the time. And it's not the fluffy snow, it's icy. But he moved out, and within a matter of months, he proposed to me back in Ormond Beach, where we took our prom pictures in the same exact garden. And it was just, it was beautiful. And the nervousness that I had and the reluctancy I felt dissipated really quickly when I looked into his eyes. And I realized that out of all the men I'd ever known in my life, I saw God's love in his eyes, and I realized how much bigger, I mean, I had been realizing as an adult, you know, throughout my own journey, how much bigger God is, and how much, you know, sometimes when we're raised a certain way, we tend to put blinders on, not intentionally necessarily, but it could be because of dogma or however it is that we're raised. And the more that we understand the magnitude of God's love and we see it, we see people living it, and you can feel it in someone's soul. I just was so grateful. And yeah, we were married like 8 months later down on the beaches where he surfed. And it has been a roller coaster, to say the least, and powerfully beautiful.
Powerfully beautiful. And y'all, we cannot get to all the details. That's why you're going to have to pick up your own copy of Gratitude in Motion, A True Story of Hope, Determination, and the Everyday Heroes Around Us. These words in here jump out at you. And something turned for you. After you said, I do, you were doing something that you love. You were really working with teenagers. You came, you know, I can feel it in your heart from the words on the page and now being able to meet you and speak with you. You just have this connection. I don't want to call them troubled youth, but ones who are dealing with really tough circumstances that they necessarily don't have control over. You had a heart. God gave you a heart for them. So you were on your way to work. Normal every day. Kiss Sean goodbye. Something life-changing happened.
So I used to cycle to work every day, as many days that I possibly could cycle, 10 miles each way. I've been an avid cyclist most of my life and have always also been quite a bit of an environmentalist, and felt like if I could have my transportation via a bicycle instead of a car and use my heart and lungs, I would do so. I had a meeting and left the meeting. It was October 8th. It was positively beautiful outside. Had a note on the counter about what we were making for dinner. I was halfway home, and a freight truck came down a side road and failed to stop at the stop sign. So essentially, as a cyclist, car vehicles have the right of way, and cyclists are considered vehicles when on the road. We obey the same rules, or are supposed to obey the same rules as vehicles do. So when you're going straight, any of the side roads, vehicles need to stop at those stop signs before pulling out. And he came down and just failed to stop at the stop sign. So it literally, as I'm riding, he came right through and just, he saw me. But by the time I think he saw me, he probably panicked and he accelerated and just went right over me. So it was a multi-ton truck, and all of the tires, front and back sets on the left side, ran me over very, very quickly. And I had enough time to really think. I didn't even have enough time to think. And in a full sentence, I'm going to die. It was enough to think, oh my, and I was being run over and dragged. And I never lost consciousness. I remember everything just so, so, so vividly. And then the engine started to leave, to, you know, to drive off. And I remember thinking as I lay there and I picked my head up in the road and I could see my body just completely shredded apart and see my insides and my bones and my, I was like my own horror movie. The thing that hurt the most, more so than literally being ripped apart, was, why did this human being see me and continue to run me over and then continue to drive off? That's what, to this day, I mean, the trauma itself and remembering it, remembering going through all 30 surgeries and being in a coma, but that's that human element that was detached for me has been the biggest pain, I think. He was obviously stopped, and, I was backboarded by three strong, amazing medics, women, I might add. And, I was alert and conscious the entire time as I was internally hemorrhaging and externally hemorrhaging. And, I coded once I got into the trauma bay. So I remember those double doors opening. One of the EMTs, her name's Amanda. She unfortunately has passed of ALS. But she placed her hand on my heart. I was her very first call. And she literally prayed out loud, that God would allow me to stay alive. I had, through whatever energy I could muster out, had said, you know, please don't let me die. We were trying so hard to have our first baby. And so, you know, I was just crying that, you know, don't let my baby die. Don't, you know, I don't want to leave my husband. We're high school sweethearts. Like, I finally met my soulmate, you know? And so she just, without ceasing, just had her hand on my heart and prayed out loud until we got to the hospital and the double doors opened. And I just remember this intense, like euphoria and this warmth. And then I coded within a few minutes. So that started the series of, weeks and weeks, in a coma and then at a therapy hospital and just really rediscovering the beauty of my body again. And it brought Sean and I to a place that no newlywed ever wants to go. but the grace of which he handled that situation and the strength, actually today's his birthday. Today is his birthday. To this day, I can't wrap my head around how strong he was and continues to be, you know, day in and day out, just like a rock through the whole thing. So
God showed up for you in Sean.
That's interesting. Yeah, I think you are very, very accurate with that. I definitely have a closer relationship with God since I've been reconnected to Sean than I have ever had. That is just an everyday love. It's an everyday, it's a relationship. It's an ongoing, just, you know, it's part of the fabric of every breath that we have. So.
And to think though, as high school sweethearts, you were actually drawn apart from each other because of your belief, because of God.
Right.
And yet now look how the tables all were turned.
Right.
And
yeah.
God says, who's really in control here?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
A beautiful story, which all the more reason why you're going to want to pick up your own copy of Gratitude in Motion, A True Story.
I love all your sticky notes.
I know. Well, I read it and I highlighted it. I would have done a lot more, but I can't highlight every single other, you know, sentence.
really?
It is truly there. I've got in here highlights of full paragraphs, Colleen. And, you know, there's just something about it that when you put your story to words, people don't get it. You know, this book is truly a walk through your life. When I first started, you know, I looked at the title. I read a lot of books. I looked at the title and said, Gratitude in Motion. Okay, that sounds wonderful. I love it. I'm an action taker. You know, here it's Take Aim, Action Ignites Motivation. And you in your book quoted, and I can't remember, it was Jody somebody.
Jody Williams.
Mm-hmm. Yes. What was that quote? Remind me.
Emotion without action is irrelevant.
Yes. And, you know, it's, I just latched on from the very beginning to you, and I truly felt like I was on the ride of your life. You brought it to life, but you opened up doors that I don't think people did, and you were making connections. And I think that's one thing God does that we tend to not look at is his beauty, how he sees us interacting in his world as his creation. You know, you went back, you had, well, let me go back just a little bit here. You had over 78 units, I think, of blood that were given to you.
Yeah, just the first day and a half, basically. Yeah.
And if I remember correctly, it's like 180 people had to donate blood to you.
At the very minimum.
And so in part of your going back, you had to go back to the hospital at one point amongst all of your, how many surgeries?
I've had 30.
Huh. And are we done?
I will most likely go in for one more just to get the hardware out of my pelvis because it's really painful. So I'm not sure what I'm going to do that though.
I just can't imagine. But I know you went back to the hospital and you had to do an MRI. And there you saw a sign that said blood donation today. And you walked into that room.
Yeah.
Share with what you found.
Oh, all of these beautiful souls with their sleeves rolled up, donating blood. And it turned out that 90%, I'd say at least, were Yale staff. They were doctors and nurses and phlebotomists that on their break went in for a blood drive and donated blood. But the whole space was full of staff members with their sleeves rolled up donating blood. And I still had my walker and my wound vac. I was attached to like a vacuum that was pulling body fluids out constantly as I was healing. And I walked in there and I just sobbed. And they said, are you okay? You know, do you need anything? And I said, I'm here. I'm alive because of all of you right here. And I was like blubbering, you know. And so I went over to someone that was laying on the table and I said, I was resuscitated here at Yale. I bled out. I needed blood. Like, I am a face of someone who your blood can save or did save if you donated, you know, back then. And one of the staff that was taking the blood said, oh my gosh, were you the cyclist on October 8th? And I said, I was. And they said, I worked that day. And I remember the call and that I apparently put the Yale Center almost in like a trauma mode with a blood shortage. Because as quickly as they were running bags of platelets, plasma, and blood, I was bleeding them out and coding. And so, you know, people knew who I was. They were like, oh, we were there that day. You know, I was driving the blood. Or, you know, someone would say I was running the blood up from this floor to this floor. And it became so real, so much more real that this is, you know, the human blood knows no boundaries. It is how beautiful that I was at one of the top trauma centers in our country, right? And had it not been for this beautiful human blood that was selflessly donated and hands on my you know, here to give me compression, I'd still be dead. So those two beautiful human elements that we can't replace, you know, we can have a temporary substitute, but we can't replace. So it's powerful. I don't know if you can see on my, so this is, can you see that?
I can.
So there's two holes right here, and those are the original holes when I was brought into the ambulance where they started running fluids. And for the first year after the trauma, those holes would kind of panic me a little. And so I decided to have an EKG done of a heart rate that went into cardiac arrest and then showing it coming back due to blood donors. So that's actually the heart rate when it's consistent, and then it, you know, starts to go into AFib and crashes and then coming back, and I have a little red cross there. So now it's this beautiful tribute to all of my blood donors who I will never know who they are because, you know, they're just blood donors are everywhere, which is a beautiful thing in itself.
Yeah. And in your book, you even talk about that you were listening to, I don't remember what song it was, and you're like, maybe one of my blood donors was into the rap or the Metallica or whatever. You're like, why am I not turning this off?
Yeah. Oh, I've completely not liked country music since I probably crawled out of the womb. Like, I've always disliked country music. And we were going somewhere, and country music had been playing on the radio for a good 10 minutes. And my husband was like, do you know you've been listening to country music? So, you know, that's crazy. Like, I'm not annoyed by it. And then I thought, oh, no, you know, there's got to be one of these people must have liked country music. You know, like somehow I'm connecting to this. Oh, you know, like what's happening to me? Yeah, it's fun.
Oh, it is a beautiful story. And it's a miraculous story. And in your chapter, We All Bleed Red, you know, God sent his only son to bleed for us. And so it's amazing how all of that intertwines together with your life, with your miraculous healing that God gave you. I got a question for you. Your book is called Gratitude in Motion. How does gratitude and forgiveness intersect in your life?
Oh my goodness. Strongly. And that's a powerful question. I think that, they're very much in tandem to one another. In order to have gratitude on a lot of different aspects in life and with what's happened, I've had to find forgiveness of my own self-loathing and frustration since this trauma's happened. I've had to seek forgiveness for just when you're... For a long time, I had survivor's guilt very badly and almost questioning why was I saved? I was run over by a multi-ton freight truck. Why was I brought back? When someone can just, you know, barely get hit by a car, or they can, you know, the littlest thing can happen to someone. They can fall off their bike and hit their head on a rock, you know, something small, and they die. They become completely paralyzed, and here I am up and walking, and, you know, so how do I find the gratitude and being able to do all these things with, at the same time, having this, survivor's guilt? So really finding the way to, first of all, uncover, you know, the roots of where that guilt's even coming from. And really asking for forgiveness for even having that guilt with myself. And then embracing the gift of what I have. You know, the same is true with the driver. It's hard to be grateful when you're harboring bitterness towards anyone or anything. It just is. And finding the way to exhale out and forgive others and forgive ourselves is so powerful, and healing. And that allows our spirits to have the ability to feel the act of gratitude, because they're not being caged in by any sort of, I really think it's guilt. I think guilt kind of ties in a lot with forgiveness. You know, we have to look at root causes and understand why we feel that way. And then even if, you know, I'll never probably stand in front of the man who ran me over and say, I forgive you. But I can certainly say it in prayer. I can go for a run and I can exhale out that negativity and I can breathe in the love of him as a brother. And the gratefulness that I have the ability to even feel that love and compassion. So.
Beautiful. I don't know, Colleen, there's not much to say except that God works in mysterious ways, and I'm so glad he has done what he has given you and gifted you and blessed you. And I know Sean sees you as a blessing. I'm sure there were days, well, I'll just have to have you both back on so we can do like a duet with the two of you. I think it would be awesome. You know,
while you're talking to me, I'm going to send a quick little, because I don't want to yell while I'm on the thing. Yell while you're videotaping me. Come in here, because I'm in the office. So if he has his phone on him, he'll pop in here. So at least he can say a hello and goodbye before we get off.
Exactly. Well, that would be wonderful. Well, truly your story, and this is such a short period of time to go into the detail. And I would encourage everybody, if you want a life-changing book, whether it's for you, you want to pick it up for a friend because they're going through a difficult time, they need hope, you are going to be touched by every single page that you turn here. And I promise you that your heart will be warmed, and God's got a message for you in this book. And I promise you, you'll find it if you open up your heart and your mind. Colleen, I know people are going to want to connect with you. Where can they find you?
So my website is simply my name, ColleenKellyAlexander.com. I am on Facebook under Colleen Kelly Alexander. I can also be found on Twitter at CJ Kelly. So they can find me there. And I'm on Instagram at CJ Kelly. So I'm out there and eager to communicate with people. And can I share just a quick thing?
Of course.
So one of the powerful things that I think is important for all of us in the human family to remember is that none of us are getting out of this time on the earth alive. We all have a date that we were brought into this earth, and we will all have a date where we're taken out of this earth. That's true for everyone. If we're breathing, we're going to pass on. And so the time that we have on this earth is so powerful and is so precious, even when it feels horrible, to really remember to glean the smallest little thing to find gratitude in, and to love, and even just embracing your breath and thinking of the beauty of that is so special. When our physical beings are gone from this earth, what do we want our legacy to be behind, you know, to be behind for everyone who's still here? And hopefully through my life and through my journey, even if we don't meet in the physical sense during this span, right? I hope so much that we meet each other, you know, up in the river, you know, swimming in the river in heaven. And I just encourage you that as don't just live your life, like really live your life and really embrace your life, because we just have no idea what each second can bring. And so the more we look at everything with childlike eyes of joy and beauty and newness, it's just so important.
Amen to that, sister. Well, before I let you go, I have one last question. This series is called My Strength is My Story. What has your story gifted you?
What has my story gifted me? It has gifted me the amazing foundation to be able to do exactly what I'm doing right now, to share with you, to share with the world, the power and resiliency of the human spirit, of God's love, and to share with people that love is always louder. There's so much hate and there's so much judgment in our world and in our climate that we're living in right now that love is always going to win. Love is always louder. And going through this has taught me that more than anything.
I can feel it in your heart and I can hear it in your words and see it on your face. Thank you so much, Colleen. You have been such a pleasure to have on and I can't wait to have you back.
Oh, thank you so much. Have a wonderful day, everyone.
Feeling inspired, ready to train for life and love your journey? Visit createyournow.com for more incredible resources to help you along the way. We'll see you next time on Create Your Now, Your Best Selfie. And remember, always be sure you consult your physician before beginning any health and fitness plan.